This is...
Wow!
What a week.
What a week. Politrix.
Politrix.
Eta, dumelang, sanbonani, enda. Absheni, molweni, hazet, whatever high works for you. Hopefully we'll keep you on that high for the next hour. Welcome to Wow What a Week, hashtag Politrix. This week, the law went freelance. March in March gave government a deadline. Ghana airlifted its citizens home and reported us to the AU. A prosecutor was too scared to show up to court, and the ANC missed their own deadline to start impeaching the president. While the MK whip on that committee got arrested for fraud. Election season, baby. Everyone loves you right now. You might even get a grocery hamper or a brand new t-shirt. Humonat, welcome to Wow What a Week. Hashtag Politrix. I'm Fresh, he's Botsang, and you are welcome. Brother.
Good morning, Fresh. Good morning to the followers and the viewers.
Where do we start?
There's a lot there. I wish we could have started in the EU, but, you know, as I was going through the list of the happenings of this past week.
Yes.
There's just too much. We can't have 10, 12 topics. The other day we had a two-hour show, never again.
In fact, before we jump into everything,
yes,
today
sir.
In Randfontein, on the West Rand of Johannesburg,
yes, sir.
Where you were born and raised and built, is the Randfontein Hall of Fame.
Yes.
You are on that list. With a whole bunch of other legendary Randfonteiners and West Renders. Let's talk about that. And how are you feeling about it?
I thanks, Fresh. Thanks for bringing that up. I actually felt humbled.
Yes.
You know, I never saw this coming. Mm. Actually, it's funny enough, when the nominations happened about a month or two ago, my sister, a younger sister, Onkabetse, writes to me and say, Haibo, why are you not informing us that you are on the Hall of Fame of Randfontein or you are nominated? And I'm like, I don't even know about it.
Yes.
That's the beauty about the whole thing. It's the people's decision. But I never thought, I actually spoke to the organizers a week or two after I got there, because I thought they will come to me. They never did. I don't know how those things work. But it's an honor, Fresh. I'm a simple township boy from Mohlakeng. And I never imagined that I may be counted among the honorable and legendary people of Randfontein. And when I look at that list...
Who's on the list?
Obviously, the most famous people to have come out of Randfontein on that list was Peter Teramatebula, former world boxing champion.
Mm.
You know that he was the first black person from South Africa to win a world champion of boxing.
Hey, was Shayla Big John Tate, I guess.
Yeah, no.
No,
it was not John Tate. It was, I think, on another... level, but it was a big fight. I remember we had to wake up at 4 a.m. to watch Teramatebula fighting in there. But it was a big name. It was not John Tate.
It was an American.
No, it was a big name. One of the big names.
Did Tate fight Gerry Kotzé?
Tate fought Gerry Kotzé. Yes, the Boksburg bomber.
Yes, I remember. Yes. I remember because we were children. I think
we
were about 10.
10, 11.
Yeah, we were about 10, 11. No, about 9, 10 years old.
Yes.
When those fights happened.
So it's Peter Teramatebula on the list. Patrick Asin Tsweling, obviously.
Ah, yes.
Ace. And my mentor, my sensei, Vusma Vuso.
Yes. Sensei because sensei, you are a karateka.
Yes, sensei Vusma Vuso is there.
So if they disarm you, you still have these weapons here?
No. I still have my empty hands. And quite a few people. Jan Bergman is from Tukum, so he's a former boxer as well. So it's a great honor, and thanks to the people of Randfontein. So I'm forced to go home. You know, the last 3 weeks I've been going home too much because of the happenings. So I'm forced to go home and receive the award. And they told us that it's a black tie occasion. I'm still going to ask them when I get there, why do you have to wear suits? But I respect the occasion. It's quite an incredible honor, especially when it happens, when a person is still alive. Some of the people that have departed, Ace and Terra have departed and others. But it's an honor that the people will recognize your achievements and your doings at your prime age and while you're still alive.
In fact, while we're here, I mean, for some people, this will be seen as a celebration of, a son of the soil. son of the West Rand soil.
Yes.
But for others, it will also be seen as a week ago he launched his political career.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a launch of sorts.
It's quite a lot.
You know, for you to say, I used to be a poacher. Now I'm a gamekeeper.
Yeah, fresh. Finally, to the followers and the viewers. I saw a lot wrote. I didn't answer to the comments. And sorry to everybody. Sorry to our followers in the Netherlands, in Australia, in the Caribbean islands who have been saying, hey, man, tell us on the sites. I've not been responding.
Yes.
I did finally joined and revealed my political career. And it happened last week after our episode. Action SA, a political organization in South Africa that is contesting with the leadership of Ntate Herman Mashaba. It's contesting to be the mayor of Joburg. So I finally revealed that actually I'm a member of Action SA. And the first surprise was came to Ntate Mashaba when he actually twisted my arm and recruited me to say, look, I need professionals to be part of the mayoral committee.
Yes.
Both the campaign as well as the mayoral committee of Joburg. And he said, yeah, but you know, eventually you'll have to take up the membership of Action SA for the very first time. And I never even told you. I've been fencing. I said, Jim Brahim, and you are very late. Ask your team. I've been a card-carrying member of Action SA for more than a year now. And he opened his eyes and he said, oh, so this is not an accident. I said, no, it's not an accident.
Yes.
But I never thought I'll be a politician. I never thought I'd take a political office.
You could have stayed neutral, right? And carried on doing analysis that you do across various news channels and on this podcast.
Yes.
But you've instead said, this is the jersey I'm going to wear. We're 5 months out from the local government elections. How do people know then that this is impartial Botsang analysis versus this is Botsang now campaigning?
Yeah. Look, Fresh, it's going to be a very difficult one. One of the things that's going to be difficult, particularly on this platform, me and you, is going to be very difficult for me to can talk of Action SA because people will think I'm campaigning. Whatever Action SA is going to do, and it's in the mainstream media, and it's on the talk of town, I will talk to you about it because it's in the media. But anything else like campaigning or inviting Action SA leader, we're going to be inviting politicians to come here as we agreed. Maybe once a month, maybe towards the election build up. When Action SA candidate or whoever guest is going to be on hashtag Politics on the World Wide Week platform, I'm going to excuse myself so that I must not be biased. That's one. But to say Botsang, an analyst and now a political office bearer candidate, I think I'm capable of doing that. And I'll tell you why. I've done it twice in my life. One, I became a career diplomat in very senior positions at, you know, 4 different countries in 3 different continents. Some of those countries, I didn't agree with the policies, like, for example, Germany and the history of the Germans. But I still conducted myself properly and well. I've never been declared persona non grata. But even worse, I became a career diplomat, started working for the government of the Republic of South Africa in 1993, before 94. So I was there fighting the apartheid government.
From within.
From within. And I was never caught. They never knew. But 1993, obviously, things had started moving after 1990. I still didn't change my staunch Pan-Africanist position. The ANC came into absolute power. All my diplomatic life, I served under 3 ANC presidents, Nelson Mandela, Thabo Mbeki, including Motlanthe Mbeki, and President Zuma. All my life. I'm a staunch Pan-Africanist. I've never been a member of the ANC. I've never even supported it. But I managed to sit professionally in a diplomatic chair or office and do the government work while I'm maintaining my political position. So I don't think it will be different now. The second time I did it, when the EFF was founded, I could have put my name up there. I was on lists of nominations to regional or provincial and national, which I declined at that time because I didn't want to be a politician. I was still working for government.
Yes.
That was led by the ANC, and I was an activist in the EFF until I left in 2016.
Mm.
I managed to compose myself and hold my position. And it was not a secret that I belonged to the EFF.
Sure.
And since that time, I've never belonged to a political party. Mm. Since 2016, I have actually never liked politics. I thought it was a big mistake for me. But at the moment, what has changed fresh is people are calling us analysts, armchair critics, and civil servants, and what. And a lot of people, they don't know the difference between a political office bearer and a civil servant. I'm a civil servant by profession. And we have said a lot, and the core by Action SA and Herman Mashaba particularly, and many people who have been saying, Botsang, you guys know government, you know how things are supposed to work. You can't be sitting at the back seat and watching politicians messing up the country.
Yes.
It's time for you guys to rise and do that. But it took a very difficult decision for us to accept. You know, I was on off. But when I realized and I had several meetings with Herman Mashaba and other people, both in family and outside, I decided, you know what? This is a call. Let me take this responsibility. Let me put, roll my sleeves and put my weights to the work to be done on the ground. I'm not going into politics as the MMC of Economic Development candidate. I think we will get those positions. I said to people last week, cheeky, I said I'm not an incoming or nominated MMC for Economic Development. I am the MMC of Economic Development. I've received that and will take that position. But for me to accept that, fresh, it's not a career.
So
look, I looked at what politicians and MMCs, mayors and what, I'll actually be losing on my professional salary to take this up. And it's not a career. I'm going there to serve. And we said to Ntate Mashaba, you know, we are 10 nominees as MMCs or incoming MMCs, whatever they call us. All of us, all are professionals in the fields we are appointed at.
That's amazing.
The guy who is appointed or nominated, for example, Marcel, who has been nominated to be safety and security, he's a former career policeman. He knows the police service. And you look at Mpumi, a whole accountant, you know, qualified accountant is going to be in finance. There's a young lady, Amanda. Amanda is a corporate lawyer. She's been in corporate, an admitted attorney. She's going to lead corporate services of Joburg. Now, what Action SA has done is, for the first time in the history of South Africa, whether it's local or provincial or government, a leader of a party or an organization has announced his cabinet before taking office.
Yes.
And we interviewed, went to security clearances, we had to submit our CVs and qualifications. That's how professional they've run this thing. And whether you are a member or not, but yo, let me tell you, bro, they work on the ground. What is helping me now is that I'm still unemployed. I'm still home.
Sure.
So it gives me time to can attend to all media, go to branch meetings, talk to the people on the ground.
And to appreciate the work coming ahead.
And to appreciate the work coming ahead. Let me tell you, you know, yesterday I had a meeting with a bunch of, and people are organized. Youth is organized. They're like, we are here, we are organized, recognize us. But I've got a whole good plan that I'm not going to abuse this platform to lay out the plan that I have, what I'm going to do. You know what I said to Mr. Mashaba and Action SA and the people? Vote Action SA in Joburg. Put us in, don't give me 5 years. Give me 1 year. If I'm not good in 1 year, chuck me out. I'm not going to waste people's time. I've got a target. People in politics always say they need 100 days to show. I'm saying every 100 days in that office, I will produce youth from all, even they don't have to be members of Action SA, from disadvantaged communities of all colors or nationalities. 100 youth every 100 days. Those youth are going to identify themselves. They're going to use the civil society movement as well as community organizations to give me 100 youth from 10 regions. Every 100 days, I take 10 youth from 10 regions of Joburg and assist them and create a path for them to develop themselves. That's the first thing I've targeted myself. With my diplomatic background, I'm going to, people don't know that consulates are normally in commercial cities. Mm. The embassies are at capital cities.
Oh, yes.
The business is in Joburg. I'm going to engage the consular community and say to them, let us talk. I'm the incoming MMC of Economic Development. You are here to look at business and investment. Let us engage. Prior to me taking the office,
sure.
When I walk into that office, I would have a clue of what is happening right and what is not happening correct in the city of Joburg.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So, I was, and you know, we discussed it a bit last week, that generally when you don't like the frills and the trimmings that come with positions such as this one. How are you going to navigate that?
Yeah, I'm already in trouble. I can't talk about it, but I'm already in trouble. I raised it with some leadership of Lection SA to say, guys, I've got a choice. I'm a Sankarist. I'm a Pan-Africanist, and I remain one.
Mm.
The frills, the blue lights, the bodyguards, the drivers, and all the red carpets, I'm not interested in those things.
Mm.
I actually, one person, I don't believe in bodyguards and security. I feel compromised when somebody's watching me.
Mm.
I trust myself and my dogs. But also, Fresh, look, I've been a very big critic of geopolitics and the government and political parties. I've stepped on the wrong toes many times in my life for being telling the truth.
Mm.
I'm out of work now because I was fighting corruption. I refused to be corrupt.
Mm.
And obviously, there must be people standing out there who want to blow my head off.
Mm.
When you get into politics, it's very dangerous. It's like being a drug dealer, actually.
Sure. Mm.
You are putting your life at stake.
Mm.
I'm not interested in all the glitz and glamours and the perks that come with it. Like I said, the biggest thing is I'm going to be losing a lot of money on a package if I take this position.
We've seen, especially at the local government level,
yes,
that is where the feeding frenzy happens. And surely it's because of that at that level, you probably need more security than, say, a member of parliament.
Yeah.
Who's not dealing with a budget.
Yes.
Who is not
dealing with the community.
Canceling a deal.
Yeah.
Who's not closing the tap that has been opened needlessly.
Yes.
So surely when you're operating at that level, especially at the economic development level, if anyone needs security, it's that MMC.
Look, that's what the president of Action SA believes, that he's not going to. He told Mr. Idet Botsang, what will I say to you, Ahmad, when something happens to you?
Mm.
The local government is based on actually service delivery. It's sure. The core of service delivery.
Absolutely. That's where the budget
is. And that's where the money is, yes, of government. That's where the distribution of the money is.
But that's also where the
risks are.
The money tap is leaking,
yes,
all the time.
Because of corruption and maladministration, because, yes, of briberies, because of what do you call it, hiring your family members and friends and giving tenders to those things.
So, Kasim Fagi?
Next, actually said, none of my friends, neighbors, family, if you are a Mwilwa or my mother's maiden name,
or a Sikwani,
forget of getting business in my house. Even if you qualify, don't bother.
So, get a register combined.
We won't get gigs in the city of Joburg under my leadership. I will not. And if you get it, let another person do it, not me. So it's not going to happen, bro.
So Kibu's a catering company, nothing?
Nothing. My sister is a catering company. I told her, stay there in the rent west, forget it.
Mm.
But I think, you must learn to avoid temptation.
Yes.
If you can pass that stage as a politician, temptation, even if people, let people do the right. I know that family and friends of politicians are allowed by law to do business with the state as long as they do it correctly and they follow process.
Mm.
But I don't want to be part of that.
Sure.
Imagine Fresh having a gig at Economic Development and Fresh is playing there. Mm. What optics is he going to create in front of the people?
You have good taste in DJs.
You can talk to other departments, but yeah. So that's the kind of discipline. But can you believe this?
Mm.
I am not yet. We must still campaign. We must get voted into office, get appointed and sworn in. And people already start calling. People I haven't talked to in 7 years. People that I never thought they are still alive. And they're already calling you to say, hey, but you know, I've got this idea. Bring the ideas and I can say it. Don't expect anything in return. Action SA has a position that we do not condone corruption, maladministration, and if anybody is found to be doing that, the organization says they are going to distance themselves from that.
Sure.
People can say it's cheap talk, but I'm saying it takes a character.
Sure.
Those who have worked with me in government almost 30 years, they know my character and position when it comes to taking money from the state.
But as a Pan-Africanist, as a Sankarist, as someone who was there at the formation of the EFF, you could have gone with the PAC, you could have gone with the EFF as a founding member that, you know, whatever I feel they're not doing right, maybe I can remedy from the inside. But you went with Action SA.
Yes.
What about Action SA spoke to you?
Which is a capitalist center organization, a center-right organization. I think, Fresh, it is not about policies. You know, in one of our episodes recently, I said the people don't eat manifestos and policies.
Mm.
The people want basic things. People want water from the tap. People
solve
want
my
schools.
Problems.
Solve the people's problems. And I'm into this to do that.
Mm.
And I said, give people what they need, create opportunities for people.
Mm.
And I don't think the EFF, that's why I left, it's in a position to do that. The PAC, the EFF, South African Communist Party, they are calling controversies a party. They are regarding themselves as the leftist organization.
Mm.
But look at what they have done, all of them. The PAC, funny enough, it's part of the GNU.
Mm.
How do you find yourself in bed with the Democratic Alliance that is anti-African, anti-development, anti, you know, the land return? So you can have beautiful, nice policies. I don't doubt policies of the EFF. I absolutely don't doubt policies of the PAC or policies of controversies of party. I don't at all. I subscribe to them. But you look at how the organization is being run. You look at what these organizations are doing and what they could have done, the advantage and the potential they have, what they could have done. They have failed to can use those manifestos and policies to can make better the lives of the people.
Sure.
And they were not talking to me.
Mm.
Action SA has demonstrated to me that it's a professional organization.
Mm.
That's another thing. That's the main thing that appealed to me. And people think Herman Mashaba is the heir and the throne of... No, guys, I can tell you, be inside, you will see.
Mm.
The man is letting us run the organization and he listens.
Mm.
He said, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I've created this party. I've created a platform. I'm not in parliament. You guys run with this thing. And let me tell you, every member of Action SA, even at the lowest point, has a voice. And that I appreciate.
You live in Centurion.
Yes.
And the Freedom Front Plus have looked after you.
Ish. Yeah.
You're Centurion for a while.
Yes.
Why did you not join the Freedom Front Plus?
The political ideology. But I told, by the way, thanks for asking. I told who, Brahim or somebody,
yes.
why Action SA and not DA and Freedom Front Plus, that they've taken care of me.
Mm.
It's when I was at my darkest moment after losing my job, 2023 to today.
Mm.
That's when Action SA took over the leadership of Tshwane.
Yes.
You must see my ward councillor in Tshwane because you remember I didn't have electricity for man. It was an Action SA leader who came and said, no, we have this program. You can do this, can arrange for this and all that. So they approached me with services.
Mm.
They took care of me. They went to fight my battles.
And in fact, I remember you you emailed Mayor Nasipi Moya.
In 20 minutes, she responded and copied the without knowing me, without me belonging to the organization.
Mm.
She's hands-on.
Mm.
Ask anybody in Tshwane about Dr. Nasipi Moya, the leader of Tshwane, the leader of Action SA. Even people who are not members or supporters of Action SA, they're very happy with her leadership,
sure,
collectively with other political parties. But again, me living in San, by the way, the ward where we are in now, ward 106, here in Four Ways, and that is my ward that I'm contesting on. And for those who are going to question, hey, when, why are you in Joburg while you live in San? No, I'm a resident of Joburg. I've got properties in Joburg. I've got my second residence in Joburg.
Sure.
So all this was cleared before the noises.
And so they had to vet even that.
They vet. You must provide your address in the city of Joburg.
Mm.
It was vetted.
How are you feeling?
I'm tired. I don't know why did I put myself into this, but yeah, just love the train. I'm feeling good. I want to do for the people, and actually feel good now before I take over office, because I've already starting to engage with communities. I've started engaging with business people, started engaging with youth, and organized. Like, I was on an interview on Tuesday with a lady who's the president of South African, Hawkers Association and all that. And she really liked my plans. She liked what I have. I said, no, I'm going to have more. Every month, I'm going to have meetings with three sectors of the economy in Gauteng, both small business or informal, youth, as well as the big ones.
Sure.
Every month, I'm going towards November.
Yes,
but I feel good, and I think I'm ready to serve the people.
All right.
I continue to be a civil servant.
We wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you, Fresh. And thanks to the followers and the viewers. If I've offended or hurt anybody, we'll sort it out in future.
And you have 5 months to convince me where I must vote for...
Every person who lives in Joburg, who loves and knows me, who wants to see service delivery, they must just vote Action SA and give us this 5-year term and see what we do in the first year.
So the local government elections obviously set for November 2026. And the IEC have launched their campaign, Get Up, Show Up, Vote.
Yes.
And parties are racing to name their mayoral candidates. Good and Rise Mzansi have teamed up and named Lukhona Mguni as Joburg mayoral candidate, a second attempt after the Unite for Change talks collapsed. And the ANC obviously running a centralized mayoral selection, finding candidates due late June, and has told members to choose between the ANC and the SACP, which is contesting independently for the first time. Now, if no metro is won outright again, what is your coalition red line? And will you put it in writing before the vote?
No. What? Why do you ask me about Action SA? You must ask me general. What we have decided is, first, we are not contesting elections to go and not win outrightly. MN Mashaba must win. We want outright win in Joburg. We want outright win in Ekurhuleni and Tshwane. If we don't, as a political party that is focusing on service delivery, we said we'll engage other parties, and we have set the conditions.
Okay.
Parties that are not for corruption, parties that are pro-poor and previously disadvantaged, and parties that are going to focus themselves on service delivery. And if you are not for that, we won't talk to you as Action SA. We are going to talk to progressive political parties that are going to be saving and uplifting the life of people. So we are open for coalition. If bad, that's not what we are fighting for. Like I said. And it could be anybody. Look, they're going to be very difficult ones. Imagine if we have to go with Herman Mashaba and be in one room with the DA. That's going to be a challenge. We don't close the door, but I can tell you from my observation, I personally will not sit in one room with the DA. But for the people of Joburg, I may be told, look, you'll have to take off your Pan-Africanist cap. Let's talk to these people.
Sure.
I don't see Herman Mashaba sitting in one room with Helen Zille for the future of the DA. And my wish is that if we don't get outright majority at 51, 52, at least let's get more than 40, so that we must be the leading party and invite one party to can lead the city.
It's funny you talk about sitting in one room on Thursday night.
Yes.
We had a dinner celebrating Oskido's Order of Ikamanga in silver.
Yes.
And we decided that we don't want to have speeches because speeches get boring.
Yeah.
So we had a podcast format where the guests who would have ordinarily given speeches, we had on stage and I interviewed them.
Oh.
And we spoke to people from the industry. So basically the theme was Oskidonomics.
Okay.
Oskidonomics is a phrase I coined about 6 years ago.
Okay.
And Oskidonomics is the extent to which Oskido has influenced the industry.
The industry.
Based on people that he's put on, advised, hired, etc., etc. And so basically we're trying to quantify it based on the people that he has influenced.
Yes.
Which also includes Youth League presidents Mbalula and Julius Malema.
Julius, yes.
And in fact, they were introduced to Oskido by the late Peter Mokaba.
Wow.
Because Peter Mukaba was one of Oskido's biggest supporters
okay.
when Oskido was coming up. So we had agreed that because there might be tension between Julius Malema and Secretary General Mbalula, I'll call them up on stage individually.
Okay.
And I'll interview the one, and then I'll interview the next one. In the middle of my first panel, I'm like, no, man. They're not going to refuse when I call them live in front of the guests.
I must go and watch this.
Because there was dinner for 200 people.
Yeah.
So I called both of them up on stage. Because I knew there was tension already. And Oskido insisted they will both sit at my table.
Yeah.
Because these are both my guys. And I'm not going to have them sitting at separate tables. So I called both of them up on stage. And they told their stories about Oskido, the Oskidonomics, Oskido's influence in their own lives, in the arts, and everything else. You know, by the time the dinner was done and we were sitting, having drinks.
Chilling, yeah.
They were sitting there like long-lost friends.
No, but you should have asked me as a man in politics, Julius and...
No, but the problem was initially the concern was there's going to be tension. Because there's been tension at the political level.
Political level.
So Oskido comes to me at the end of the evening and is like, my man, thank you for forcing them on stage together. Because now look at them. They can't separate.
Oskido should have known you better than me that you are capable of doing that to people. Yeah, but Fresh, it's going to happen like that. I'm one of the people who have predicted in the past that there'll never be an outright government in South Africa from now moving forward, whether it's at national, provincial, or local. Maybe in the Western Cape, here and there. But it's going to be very difficult in these metros, no matter our wishes and our work on the ground as individual parties. But I think, look, we'll cross the bridge when we get there as a political party. However, I'm also thinking that, for example, the ANC at the moment, for them to open up what we discussed last week and the week before last to say, hey, let's go and fish for our mayors. You see, Herman Mashaba was ahead of everybody. I think they are realizing, they are reading the room. It's too late for them, and they still have the badge. But maybe if they put professionals to contest as mayors, I'm not taking anything from their leaders in Tshwane, in I don't know who's their leader in Ekurhuleni, but in Tshwane and in Joburg. I think even the organization is saying, let's try and get professionals and better people to can do that. So it's an attempt from them to try and fix and appeal to people. The EFF has been quiet. I'm surprised for so long that they haven't announced. Inkatha Freedom Party has announced. Kenny Kunene is standing for the Patriotic Alliance. And I think it's going to be a challenge and very difficult at the moment. And I'm not, you know, raising the flag of my political party. But I don't see anybody, including Helen Zille, challenging Herman Mashaba in Joburg. I don't see anybody. If Herman Mashaba does not win Joburg, which I think he will, it will be because people voted for political parties and not people.
Okay.
Understand? It will be that. But with what I have seen on the ground as I'm engaging, even the DA is losing some of its traditional white people. Like I said, forward is my word. And I've seen white people saying they will vote action. I say, you know why? They're angry with the GNU.
Oh, yes.
The DA going to bed with the ANC. They're very upset with that. And because you take advantage of that.
And you know, the sad thing with not having an outright majority is obviously you're forced to make deals.
Yes.
But to the person that voted for you emotionally, they won't always understand the bedfellow that you've chosen.
That you've chosen, yeah.
And often you choose those bedfellows strategically. Even if it's someone you don't like.
Yeah,
like the DA are saying, they'd rather be in the room to dilute an unholy alliance.
Alliance, yes.
Than be outside and leave these three parties to their own devices.
Yeah. So. Look, it's going to be a challenge. The South African Communist Party, which is contesting now, has called in a conference or a symposium they've invited parties that they regard as an organization of the left.
Sure.
The SACP one is too late. Two, the SACP divorces the ANC for principal position. They divorce them. They separate. Then they invite them to a symposium of parties of the left. Why do you leave your wife and go and have a seminar of saying, I'm looking for new spouses.
I need a small house.
I need a small house. I need a few of you to come and be with me.
Yes.
And let's be together. But you still invite your ex-wife.
Mm.
It doesn't work like that. I look, and I sit there and I look.
But we haven't broken up. We're on a separation.
So
maybe we can find each other at the symposium.
Now, if you fail to find each other in one house, why do you think you'll find each other when there's concubines around?
Sometimes you need a concubine to remind you of what you might be losing.
Oh, so you simplifying politics.
I get about a small house, it is a big house.
No, in politics it doesn't work like that. You understand? But yeah, so the time for elections is now. The IEC has pronounced voter registration week, the big one, it's coming. I think political parties are rolling this thing out, but let's wait and see.
So the Unite for Change talks collapsed.
Yes.
But Good and Rise Mzansi are again teaming up.
Yeah.
With Lukhona Mguni as the Joburg mayoral candidate.
Yes.
Why should this alliance work when the Unite for Change didn't?
Look, Fresh, one can only speculate that they're making us to say Musi Maimane and Boza were the problem.
Uh-huh.
Because if they were three and two have agreed to say, hey, man, without Musi Maimane of Bo and Boza, let's work together. That is Patricia de Lille as well as, what is the gentleman's name of Zungu? I think it's Zungu. Ne?
Mm.
Now I think it's because of the agreement they reached. You know what is the agreement? In Gauteng, it will be Rise Mzansi.
Sure.
And then Good will contest in the Western Cape.
Mm.
And all the Rise Mzansi supporters in the Western Cape, they will vote for the Good Party. Mm. So it was a simple agreement.
Sure.
Because there's two. Now I think three was a crowd. But also for them to come up with Lukhona Mguni, he's a very influential political commentator and analyst. He's a young person, and I watched his interview where he accepted this same story as some of us. To put him up, I think they were brave to throw him into a situation where he contests the likes of Helen Zille and Herman Mashaba. You see, Fresh, one thing that people are missing is you may be influential, you may have support in social media like Botsango in politics and all that, as our followers have already written to me and said, please don't stop going to Wow What a Week, and don't change and stop criticizing the government. The challenge is, and I don't know if I'm giving people clues about this, do you know that, for example, the EFF and Rise Mzansi and Bosa, they will do better in the Joburg Metro if they were going to put their leaders there? You understand what I'm like? Herman Mashaba is the president of the party. You could have went national, you could be sitting with Dr. Letlapa in the National Assembly and leading the party. But he's not challenging at national yet. He's not challenging at provincial because the elections are in 2029. He wants to fix Joburg and he's sitting for Joburg. It shows selflessness.
Mm.
And I'm saying these political parties, why are they not putting their leaders? This local, why is Julius not contesting to be the mayor of Joburg?
Mm.
People are saying, no, but it's too small for him. He hasn't had a chance to run Gauteng or national. What's wrong in being the mayor? I think they would have stood more power to do that. What's wrong in Mr. Zungu standing as mayor of Joburg? We know he's going to stand national as the president,
yes.
But as the mayor, Mepetra Dilili is old.
Mm.
I'm not taking anything from Lukhona Mguni. I think they have a good candidate. But I'm saying you must know who to bet with.
Yes.
And as then, I'm not going to send a small reptiles like lizards to go and fight with crocodiles like Helen Zille. It's a challenge.
Yes.
Understand? So you are sending lizards to fight crocodiles, or you are sending, if you want a cat, and I always say to people, if you are a cat and you want to be a tiger or a lion in the jungle, a big cat, you must actually stop eating rats and start chasing the big animals. That's my political thinking. I don't know if I'm making sense. You can't be chasing rats when you want to be in the jungle.
All I can say is now you have me wishing I could go to Kruger. With your analogy and analogies.
Yeah. It's actually the best time to go to the Kruger. It's getting cold now. You'll see more animals there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, long and the short, it's going to be an interesting race for Johannesburg.
It's going to be a very interesting race. It's going to be a tough, interesting race. Sadly, because of the numbers and the parties, the voters are going to be split.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm convinced the political party I've chosen and I belong to will win Joburg outrightly.
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Let's go to March and March.
Yes.
March and March, led by Jacinta Ngobese Zuma, has gone national, some of it violent. They set government a 30 June deadline, threatening a shutdown, demanding a state of emergency on illegal immigration, plus reserving the township economy for South Africans. Now, the JCPS cluster met at the union buildings on Monday. Mm-hmm. Two deputy ministers, Bushielo and Nzuza, to lead visibility on the ground. A progress report is due on the 11th of June. March and March called it a talk shop, and they walked out. And UN Secretary General Guterres flagged xenophobic attacks in KZN and Eastern Cape of South Africa. Ramaphosa urged a lawful response. Defense Minister Motshega dismissed the deadline as just another protest. It's been a crazy week.
It's very crazy. First, let me tell you something. We for years on this platform and myself on various other platforms have talked how South Africa is a simmering pot.
Yes.
Of an explosion that the people are hurtful.
Yes.
With the service delivery. And I've always said, when people are hurtful or people are angry or people are frustrated because of their government, what they will normally do, and history has taught us, they will go for easy targets. They will go for low-hanging fruits. And this is another thing that people do not understand with March on March. This has absolutely nothing to do with xenophobia or Afrophobia. It is the people of the Republic of South Africa, the citizens of this country, who are saying to a government that has failed them, especially at local level, whether it's a township, semi-urban or rural areas, we are being choked by poverty, maladministration, corruption, unemployment, and all those things. Everything is collapsing. Infrastructure is collapsing. Service delivery has actually collapsed. Almost all areas of Joburg this weekend where we are in, either your water pressure has been reduced or there's no water for whatever reason.
Yes.
The people are very upset. People, kids, you live in a street in Shawela and your child can't find a school two streets away because there's no space. Now, what will the citizens do naturally? They will blame those that they regard as illegal foreign nationals. And I've said to people, it is not only even illegal foreign nationals that are taking jobs. And I will explain the jobs part and the opportunities part. But the government has failed the people. The people are responding with frustration towards the failures of their government. What foreign nationals, especially those from Africa, do not understand is that they had an opportunity in their countries, whether it's Nigeria, Ghana, Somalia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Malawi. They had an opportunity or an option. And their option was South Africa because the stability in this country, according to them, they can work for minimum wages or even less. They've got life.
Yes.
Things they are doing in South Africa, they wouldn't do them in their own countries. Now, I don't think March on March is targeting foreign nationals. It is saying to the government, you are failing to render the services to us. It is being worsened by the presence of illegal foreign nationals.
Mm.
It's being worsened by that. I listened to President Mbeki and my former boss, Dr. Nkosana Dlamini-Zuma, talking about this, and I'm very disturbed, actually, that a person that I hold very high and with respect, like Dr. Nkosana Dlamini-Zuma, has gone on the bandwagon of President Mbeki. I know how close they are.
Mm.
I know how they worked well together. Look,
sure.
I reported to both of you. When I became the chargé d'affaires in Rwanda, ironically, President Mbeki was the president and Dr. Dlamini-Zuma was my minister.
Sure.
And I know what they are capable of doing, the two of them running an office. But for them, and both, hear me criticizing my leaders that are all high now, to come up and say simple statements like merely deporting foreigners will not create jobs in South Africa. That's very disturbing, Fresh. And I'll tell President Mbeki and Dr. Nkosana Dlamini Zuma why they are wrong.
Okay.
It is not just creating jobs. And I'll answer the jobs. But the first one is creating opportunities.
Sure.
One, why do you want to harbor illegal people in your country?
In the first place.
First place. Why do you want to harbor and what for whatever reason they came here and how? That's not what I'm talking about. Mm. I'm talking about they are illegal. They've already broken the law. Now, are we saying it is good to harbor, protect, and defend people who broke the law? Is that what President Mbeki and Dr. Zuma
Because I think March and March have always been about, can there not be lawlessness?
Yes. You understand?
It's been a lawlessness thing more than it's, we hate Africans.
It's not that.
It's not even about we hate Africans. It's don't be lawless.
2 weeks ago, in Beitbridge,
yes,
two buses distinct for the Free State province from Zimbabwe, they crossed the border, one with 10 passengers. When it was stopped down the N1 towards or after Musina, it had over 80 people. Of which only 10 crossed them. Now, that is lawless, that those people broke the law. They have broken the laws of the country and in my books and opinion and the rules of this country. They are not supposed to be treated as asylum seekers or nationals who are looking for positions in South Africa.
And
much on much is on that. But what second part, let me just finish this. The second part about the jobs. Nkosana Dlamini Zuma, my mother and leader, I'm saying, there is an opportunity not to resolve the unemployment problem, but to alleviate that problem. If you look at restaurants all over Joburg and what do you call it, Cape Town and Sandton's and all that, almost 80% of people who work in restaurants are foreign nationals. Not to say they can't work there. Some are illegal. The majority actually are illegal. I'll tell you why. Because when there's inspections, they run away, they hide them and all that.
And also, unfortunately, with a lot of South African businesses that are complicit in all of this,
yes,
even they are breaking the law. And often for their own selfish ends, because you can lie all you want about South Africans are lazy. There are South Africans who are willing to do that work, but you must pay them what they are worth, full stop.
And
often you want to hire someone who is undocumented because you can abuse them, you can pay them rubbish, you can treat them rubbish because they can't be protected. That is why a lot of businesses do that.
This is where much on much is right.
Yes.
They are saying, we are not here to fight foreign nationals. We are here to say, implement the law, protect the territory, protect the jobs, protect the market and the economy. Because you are even saying they are complacent. Fresh, it's worse than being complacent. This whole thing of illegal foreigners taking jobs and being employed, it was actually created by business people.
Yes.
Those who are hiring them. Because why? They avoid paying UIF, they avoid paying taxes, they pay minimum salary. Let's say minimum salary in South Africa is 4,000 rand. That's what you are supposed to. And register people.
Sure.
And give them a proper employment process. Eh? Now you go and take a foreign national from Zimbabwe. This foreign national didn't do anything wrong. He is an immigrant to look for economic opportunity in South Africa. Now, Botan's catering company hires this person, exploit them, you know, work long hours which are not in line with our Labor Relations Act, and still pay them peanuts. First, you are doing something illegal.
Sure.
Secondly, you are exploiting that human being. Actually, when one look and flip the coin, much on much is actually protecting these foreign nationals, particularly from Africa, by saying, come here legally, get jobs legally,
formalize your stay,
and be treated with dignity and respect.
Absolutely.
Understand?
Absolutely.
If you are here, you are legal, you've got documents, and you are treated with dignity and respect, then you can live with us. You understand? Be paid a minimum salary as per the law. So the biggest problem here, it's companies that are employing those people. And I've seen it. I was at the border management environment for almost 13 years of my life. I saw it happening with farm workers. Mm. They don't have protection. They're being abused or used. When they are finished being used and abused, like in the mining industry, they are thrown out. Mm. So it is exploitation of cheap migrant labor. It's broken the immigration law. But also when we look at what transpires with all these foreign nationals, they are not here as asylum seekers. They're not here as they are economic migrants. They are here to seek economic opportunities. But the conduct and their behavior in the country, it is also worrisome fresh. It is very worrisome when you look at people making demands to the government or to the people of South Africa to say, South Africa belongs to all of us. Let's live here in free. We have rights to be here. Things that they are failing to do in their country. Mm. Understand? Zimbabweans should stand up and fight the failed ZANU-PF government in Zimbabwe and demand rights there, demand better life and health services. They should go to Zimbabwe and demand that the government led by President Mnangagwa must actually render a service to the citizens.
Yeah, but I get it. That's the problem, though, that unfortunately, African leaders and governments never call each other out.
Yeah.
And it's not in my interest to stop my people from getting opportunities in other countries.
Yes.
Because they're sending the money back home. And that money is what's going to keep my engine going.
Going, exactly.
So it's not in my interest to make sure that my border is not porous when people want to leave my country to come to South Africa.
And this thing of porous borders, you know, it's a topic for another day. I differed with, you know, I listened to that, security meeting that was led by Mamulu Kukubayo on Monday. Eh?
Mm.
And to those who always think I speak nicely to Mamulu Kukubayo, the Minister of Justice, let me tell you, she actually embarrassed me. And I understand she was leading the collective. And she was wrong this week to say much and much. They just walked out and Fikile Mbalula stands up and questions Jacinta to say, but who are you to come and put ultimatums to the government and all that? They can't be asking that question. Who is she? She's Jacinta Ngobeni Zuma. She's a citizen of this country. She's a civic movement leader. She stood up and she stood up for the right things. Mm. Now, you can't question a person because he's not a politician that he can't or she can't rise and talk and challenge things. And this is where they're also losing the political plot. Did you see what happened with Herman Mashaba last week when he announced us?
Mm.
One of the people who has joined Action SA, it's Zandile Zabula. Z has joined Action SA, incoming MMC for housing. It's from where? Operation Dudula. So Operation Dudula is going to be voting with Action SA.
Mm.
Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if go and vote with Action SA or another political party that is talking along those lines. But when Mamulu Kukubayi, Minister of Justice, was addressing the media after, I was very disappointed. One of the solutions they are coming with or propose is to say the two ministers that you have mentioned, that the two deputy ministers, Deputy Minister of Home Affairs and Deputy Minister of Police, are being deployed to say maybe March on March is angry because they did not see political heads on the ground. Now they're going to be around. I, as a South African, don't want to see political heads because they lie to people.
Mm.
What are deputy ministers going to do on the ground that they don't know?
Mm.
The people are saying, manage the borders, deport the people, go and charge companies and investigate them and charge them that are employing illegal foreigners. Take action. Protect local economy. That's what these people are saying. Don't bring task teams and committees, and the due date of the first report is the 11th of June.
Mm.
Why get closer to the date that the people, not Jacinta, the people have set for you to say, tell us how you are going to act. Don't form task teams. Yes, there must be an organized way of doing things.
Mm.
But to threaten those people with the army, for Angie Motshekga as the minister to come and say, we'll deploy the army so that there must not be violence. When there's violence in Cape Town, the army is failing to even contain, been there for a month.
Mm.
So now the people are rising for their demands and you want to deploy the army to deal with them. They are playing with fire.
Mm.
They are playing with fire. We have faced the army as black people in this country.
So
brutal, more brutal than the current. And some people in that army, I always remind people fresh, there are people in that army who are former controversies, Apla and Azanla. soldiers. They've got families in townships.
So,
do you think those people are going to go and shoot civilians, protesters, and beat them up? They must be very careful with what they are doing, because even our security personnel is artful with the government. And I don't think they're handling this well. We should be looking at what solutions can we put in hand. One of the solutions is to increase the force of labor inspectors, increase the force of immigration inspectors, and enforce the law. And you see those governments, you mentioned that those governments don't care. You know, on Wednesday, the Border Management Authority intercepted a truck carrying drugs, methamphetamine, worth 1 billion at Beitbridge from Malawi.
But was this not because of the X-ray machines that you have been advocating for years?
Yes.
That without X-ray machines at the borders, it's a free-for-all. Because
we needed that.
Because you can't randomly check trucks.
Yes.
Every single truck that goes through must be checked, full stop.
And I'm not the only one who has been advocating for scanner machines at ports of entry, particularly Beitbridge, the Durban Harbour, the Cape Harbour. I'm not the only person. Many people who have been in the border management have been saying that. But look at the help. You remember when Dr. Masia Pato was here? He said if we can get drones and scanners at ports, will be able to...
It's a game changer. It's a game changer.
Drugs or drug manufacturing things, whatever chemical, a billion rand worth. Where was it going to?
I think it was Mantrax, a billion rand of the Mantrax. It was coming here. And possibly for export via other ports.
No, let me tell you what's happening. It's not Mantrax, the final product. It's a chemical that makes Mantrax. But link that with the best that police have been finding in the farms in Mpumalanga, Northwest, and Gauteng, where there's been a Mantrax manufacturing. Who were the people who were arrested in Northwest and Mpumalanga?
They were Mexicans.
Mexicans. So, guys, we are sitting with the Mexican cartels, they are in the country. They are running and functioning in the country. And thanks to the BMA for this, just one intercept. But I'll tell you one thing. When these things came out, the shootings in Centurion and all that. You know what I said? Madlanga Commission has actually exposed and removed to their site the main players of the drug and criminal cartels. The new ones are seeing an opportunity because the old ones are hiding.
Yes.
So the new ones have emerged. You can look into that. But thumbs up to the BMA and to this committee of the a JCPS cluster, security cluster. I think they must tone down and put South Africans first. That's my advice to the government. Do what the law says you must do. Yes, we won't allow lawlessness from any, and they must stop calling people vigilante groups. This is a civil society group.
With a concern.
With a concern.
And the concern
and
should not be treated.
Legitimate concerns.
And it must not be treated lightly or watered down with phrases that that stir up people's emotions.
Because
at some stage, you need to look at what they're arguing.
Yes.
That can there not be lawlessness? Because any country you go to, especially on the continent, you must act accordingly. There are laws, and you must make sure that your stay is legitimate. You're not going to see majority of the Africans that come here undocumented do it in any other African country.
Yes. Look, you know, I listened to President Mbeki, and it really disturbed me. President Mbeki, after saying, in one of his lectures in the past week, after saying deporting foreign illegal nationals is not going to create jobs, and I've addressed that, he went further and say, let me tell you the history. And he started telling us the history. Some of us, we know that history of how an ANC leader was caught with drugs in Zambia. And then the Zambian government had to even, because they were in favor of the liberation movement, had to even say to the ANC leaders, Thabo Mbeki was one of them, hey, take that leader, that drug dealer out, so that when we come and arrest that drug dealer, he's not into the country. Thabo Mbeki goes and tells us about what happened at Guinea-Conakry against some criminal activity. The government there protected an ANC criminal. Then he told us about a sad one where a Prime Minister of Tanzania was involved in a natural car accident with one of the ANC deployees in Tanzania, a guerrilla or a soldier of a member of the ANC office in Tanzania. The Prime Minister of Tanzania, who was a very popular person, died in that case, but it was a natural car accident.
Mm.
And he spoke about how the Tanzanians handled that very well because it would have created chaos in the country to say, these foreign nationals that we have accommodated here, now they've killed our popular leader. Can let them go. But because of the way the Tanzanians handled it, I take a leaf from what President Mbeki is saying, the way the Tanzanians handled it. You understand? And I'm saying, and I'm challenging the JCPS cluster led by Mamelodi Gubai to say, find a way of handling this thing than just dismissing these people.
Handle it.
Find a way.
And you know, with respect, we keep being told about how African nations also rallied around South African freedom fighters.
Yes.
And it is true.
It is true.
But often those freedom fighters or those exiles were documented or they were known about.
Yes.
In fact, in some kind, I remember there's a refugee camp, Kobotswana,
Dukwi. Yes.
Some of them were put into refugee camp, Kodukwi.
Actually.
But they were known to be in the country and there was no, I'm going to do my own thing or I'm going to be undocumented and be lawless and I'm going to sell drugs and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
That is the difference.
That's the difference.
So to guilt trip people into saying, because Botsang accommodated me, I must accommodate him.
Mm-hmm.
But in me accommodating him, Botsang is actually not respecting my house.
Yes.
You can't compare the two.
You cannot.
You can't compare the two.
You can't compare the two. Look, I personally was in Arusha, Tanzania, at the Zefania Mutupe Training Academy.
Yes.
We had not South African passports. We had letters from the Tanzanian authorities to say Botsang and the other seven have arrived now.
Yes.
Okay, it was not Botsang, it was a code name.
Yes.
Here they are. I never left that camp as I wished. Mm. I couldn't even go to a supermarket as I wished. It was controlled.
Mm.
Even in leaving the country, the Tanzanian government for our safe passage were informed to leave until, in my case, the Zimbabwean took over, then the Botswana government took over. They were informed.
Mm.
I didn't go and stay in Botswana carrying a scorpion and hand grenades and walking the street of Kanye as I wished.
A scorpion is a gun, you know, carry
it. Yeah. So we cannot allow lawlessness.
Mm.
And we cannot allow a situation where South Africans break the law.
Mm.
Officials of government break the law. They bring undocumented foreigners, they get bribed, corruption and all that. So this March on March and other civic society groups, they've got a legitimate concern and government should respect them and address them properly. The ANC leaders should have known. They know what happened in 76. I can start and say they know what happened when Sobukwe led the past campaign. They know what happened in 76 when the TAT machinists and Kotso Seyakhelo's, you know, caused an upset. They know what happened in 85. They know what a civic organizations can do. They can bring a government down, no matter how you shoot them or you lock them up.
Sure.
And I think we don't want that chaos in the country.
Mm.
We want to resolve issues better. And in my last word on this, March on March and others, I follow their news. I follow what their demands. They are not fighting foreign nationals, they are fighting the government to say these people are illegal here because the government facilitated them being here.
Yes.
And you can look at what happened with the Ghanaians.
Mm. Huh? Mm. In fact, let's talk about the Ghanaians.
Yes.
300 Ghanaians landed in Accra on Wednesday. 800 were expected. And they were met with patriotic songs and a warning to anyone who messes with Ghanaians. Ablakwa has petitioned the AU to put South Africa's xenophobia on the agenda of the AU media coordination meeting. It's happening 24 to 27 June in Al Alamein, invoking apartheid era solidarity. And South African officials have argued that, you know, of the 300 people that chose to go home, only 10 are documented or were legitimately in the country. Some are arguing that I applied and I didn't get a response. Or I applied and I got a bribe. I'm also going to say some wanted to go home on a free flight and they'll be back. No, no, I'm telling you, telling you for free, because I know quite a few Ghanaian seamstresses and they're damn good at what they do.
Yeah.
But they'll tell you that I can't go home because it's expensive.
Yes.
But now there's an opportunity to go home on a free
and
flight.
See the family.
I'm telling you right now, some saw an opportunity to go home for free and they will be back. But we kind of have a situation where people have not legitimized their stays. And if Vele you've applied, why have you not kicked up a fuss about that? I've applied and someone asked me for a bride.
Yes.
Or I've applied and I'm not getting.
Or just a
DA. Because there are enough NGOs and human rights organizations that would fight that fight for you.
And they've been doing it.
If you feel that I've applied and I'm not getting any joy, that people will do that for you for free. So at what stage do you take responsibility for your inaction or for your saying, because I've applied and it's taken too long, I'm going to rather be illegal? You must fight to legitimize your stay so no one can turn around and accuse you of being here illegally. Like, I'd understand if there weren't people who are willing to fight this fight for you for free. Hmm. But there are enough NGOs, enough organizations, enough civil society organizations that will fight this fight for you. If you feel that there's Home Affairs officer that is acting illegally or demanding money from you, there are ways of dealing with that also.
Exactly. You know, Fresh, it's very disturbing this came from Ghana.
Yes.
And maybe Minister Lamola, when he goes to the EU meeting, let's volunteer. He must take us with, we'll do this for free for them. Mm. And tell them history that Ghana was the first country that we claim to have gained independence in Africa. It became the first country to chase away foreign nationals. Do you know that? Ghana.
Mm.
As way back as 1962, Ghana and 2 million Nigerians, legal or illegal, were chased out of Ghana. And it was not the civil protest. It was a government-supported program. Mm. 20 years down the line in the 70s, Nigeria did the same.
Hey, Ghana must go.
Ghana must go, that project. Mm. Now, they were even targeting and explicit about it. The foreign minister of Ghana, you say the name better, And I'll say it undiplomatically, has a nerve, instead of engaging the South African High Commission, instead of engaging their embassy in South Africa, instead of engaging Minister Lamola in South Africa, goes and table a motion with the AU to talk about how South Africa is xenophobic. It is actually an opportunity now for Minister Lamola to go to the AU and say the person who tabled this motion as the foreign minister of Ghana was the first to take his illegal immigrants out of my country.
Mm.
Because that's what happened. The motion was tabled last week. They left this week. And look at the, it was not even 300 fresh. 300 were at the airport, only 295 left.
Mm.
The five that were left back, one had an asylum, a valid asylum permit to be in South Africa. In terms of international law, when you still have a permit, we can't deport you.
Oh, yes.
In terms of, we can't. You've got a valid permit. Why do you want to go home?
You're under our protection.
Yes. Mm. Now you must follow process so that we must revoke that permit. Then you can go home freely.
Mm.
The second person did not have a passport. They came from Lindela detention camp.
Mm.
And the Ghanaian embassy had, High Commission had given them a one-page emergency travel certificates, which is common. This one did not have it. The other three girls, who were they? A lady who had an emergency travel certificate with two minor kids. She could not explain who are those kids.
Hmm.
And the BMA said, no, you can't travel with kids, two minor kids. Where is the other guardian? Where is the family? Who are they? Who are his children who are undocumented? 295, they went into that flight. Only 10 were legal in South Africa.
Hmm.
And the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Ghana wants to go and tell the AU that we are pushing xenophobic as a country, when actually 285 of his people were in a jumbo jet or a flight to go back because they were here illegally. You know, one of them was interviewed by SABC, and that was a very interesting one. You know, that guy says he came to South Africa first as a tourist, and he converted his tourist visa to an asylum seeker. And they asked him why. He said, well, they wanted me to be a chief back at home in my village, and I was not ready to be a chief. So I decided, let me run to South Africa because I was afraid that they'll force me to be a chief. So you even ran away from your own responsibility, like I ran away from being the chief of Dinokana. And now I must stick asylum in Gauteng. I must ask Panyaza to protect me because Bawubuti, they want me to come back home. What nonsense is that? That's utmost nonsense that we shouldn't allow that as a country. We should not be even be embarrassed to say to the foreign minister of Ghana or to the Ghanaian embassy, you are a typical example of those who have been abusing this government, this country, and the resources of this country. We haven't gone to Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Mozambique, and Malawi. The truck of full of drugs that it was from Malawi. It crossed Malawi into Zimbabwe, into South Africa. You want to tell me that, by the way, Bait Bridge on the Zimbabwean side was the first port of entry in our neighboring countries to have a scanner. Bait Bridge, the Japanese donated that scanner, JICA, it's an NGO from Japan.
Yes.
They donated that scanner to Zimbabwe. That truck crossed the scanner in Zimbabwe into South Africa and it was not detected. Explain that to me. When it came out of Malawi into Zimbabwe, it crossed the border. It was not detected. It drove throughout Zimbabwe. Not detected. It passes a scanner of Zimbabwe into South Africa. So you see the way our neighboring countries and our brothers and sisters in Africa are treating South Africa. And that's what makes people angry. That their governments are not honest. Why do they want their citizens here? And I think South Africa must take a very strong position to go and defend our sovereignty at the AU. And anyway, the AU is a dead dog. What are they going to say after? South Africa, you are xenophobic. Okay, take your people again.
Yeah.
Understand? And these are some of the challenges that we have to strengthen our foreign policy and our foreign position in international forums, whether they are bilateral or multilateral. Why would the prime minister or the foreign minister of Ghana go to the AU when we have bilateral relations? Why Ulori Pimbang? Why do that? Why don't you engage South Africa first for your citizens? If they fail to reason, then you elevate it to SADC or to the AU. You run to the AU and look what happened this week about 285 of their citizens who came out. As we said, there were supposed to be 800. Where are the other Ghanaians in South Africa? What are they doing? Are they here legal? We're talking about a fraction and one country.
And there's been a flourishing Ghanaian community in this country for years, even pre-1994.
Yes.
For years. And because they were legitimate and were not
exactly
troubling anyone, there's never been an issue, man.
And guys, we really want to travel. I've lived in Africa. I've lived in Mozambique. I've lived in Rwanda. I've traveled the continent. I don't want to travel watching my back. I'm saying to our people, our brothers and sisters, as Pan-Africanists or Pan-Africans, let us do the right thing and respect each other's countries. Now, a lot of people are hiding behind Pan-Africanism to say what we are doing is not Pan-Africanism. That's nonsense. Pan-Africanism.
Or that the borders were drawn
by the colonialists
when they were divvying out countries. The long and the short is, at this stage, every country is a sovereign state.
Exactly.
With the rules, with the regulations, and at the very least, abide by those rules. At the very
there
least.
There is nowhere in the founding manifesto of Pan-Africanism, whether by Nkrumah, whether by Sobukwe, whether by Nyerere, there's no way in the Pan-Africanist manifesto where it says Africans must disrespect each other. Africans must disrespect each other's countries. That's why all the Pan-Africanists, the Lumumbas, and the Kwame Tourists, they could accommodate South Africans because they said, this is our home, this is our country. We'll accommodate you here, but with rules and regulations of this country. Sure. Pan-Africanism promotes that, not lawlessness. Not people coming to... Why would I want to treat a drug dealer, a thug, a rapist, an illegal immigrant? Why should I treat that person with respect? When you disrespected me, when you came here through a window... Sure. You know, somebody used a window metaphor to say, if you've got a door and Fresh wants a place to stay, there's a door, Fresh, knock at my door, I open, I welcome you. Don't come through the window. Then when I find you in my house, you're like, I'm running away from thugs on the street. Can I stay in your house? When there's a door.
Sure.
So every time you go out, you go through out the window. When there's a door, even when I said, okay, I understand why you came via the river on top of a crocodile via Limpopo. I understand. Now you are here. Let me legitimize you here. Let me help you. You still don't want that. No, guys. We cannot operate like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. So I need us to go to Parliament.
Oh, that's great. Oh.
ANC missed Speaker Togo Didiza's 22 May deadline to submit nominees for the Section 21 Parapara Impeachment Committee, reportedly because Chief Whip Ntuli and SG Mbalula clashed over representation. So no names means no committee.
Yeah, they submitted them late.
EFF's Sinao Tambo calls it sabotage to Shield Ramaphosa. DA also pushing for the committee to proceed regardless.
Yes.
And MK Chief Whip Mabatu Mokoena Zondi, who sits on that committee with John Shope, was arrested Thursday on fraud charges, allegedly took 50 to 60% of four researchers' salaries under pretext of Zuma's legal fees, almost 200,000 rand, granted 30,000 rand bail, and case is happening on the 18th of June. A prior fraud conviction emerged in court. Let's talk about what's going on.
First,
go section 89. And in fact, President Ramaphosa is challenging section
89 report.
The report.
Yes.
But the EFF are saying, because this report, the parliament,
parliament
must counter that.
The
challenge.
Actually, again, the EFF has demonstrated their wisdom and knowledge of government processes. Thumbs up to them. That report is not supposed to be challenged by ATM or EFF or MKP in court. That is a report of parliament.
Yes.
It was sanctioned by parliament. Mm. The speaker of parliament, with his, all her legal heads, they are supposed to actually be the respondent on this case.
It's her report.
Yes, it's her report. That report belongs to parliament. That whole GNU in there and members of GNU, it's a parliamentary report. And the EFF is correct. That's the first part. I still say I want to see which constitutional court judge or high court judge is going to question a decision of a constitutional court. I still want to say that.
Are you saying President Ramaphosa is just kicking the can down the road?
Yeah, first, the Concord has sent the report to where it belongs. The apex court, it's to say, go and do this and do it this way. Now, to take that report now to a high court on review, it's. I don't say President Ramaphosa must not exercise his constitutional right, but I'm saying it's, you know, clutching on straws and also delaying tactic. Then the ANC, the boss of ANC in parliament, by the way, for people who don't know, to be a chief whip or leader of a party in parliament, you are the boss of those that the party have deployed to parliament. It is you who makes a call. Now, if the ANC has internal regulations that you must consult headquarters or Luthuli House first, it's okay. It's their internal practices. But for them to miss a deadline, and I think I want to see how the speaker is going to respond on it. The DA was correct to say, let's proceed without them.
We've got names already.
We've got names. Let's proceed. Even if they don't give, let's proceed with those that we have here.
Yes.
And Fikile Mbalula stands up and says, I'm the boss, I'm the SG of the ANC, the chief whip will have to listen to me. No, Mr. Mbalula, it does not work like that. They will listen to you there in Luthuli House. The parliament, it's ours. The chief whip of any party in parliament is the chief whip of the people. It is the people's interest. It is the people's Section 89 report, and work must happen. Now, you know, I think the EFF, ATM, and the other opposition, they should have actually told the speaker that the deadline was set, they missed the deadline, let them not come in and we'll proceed without them. Sure. The challenge they are sitting with fresh is members of the GNU will have to side, in order to stay in the GNU, will have to side with the ANC. However, Ntuli is one of the level-headed and seasoned politicians I've seen in modern-day life. He says to the ANC leaders, forget about the party position and favors and that the president belongs to our party. You must apply your conscience. Remember that story came back. That apply your conscience in looking at this report. I think Ntuli is being very smart in order not to shoot the ANC on his feet, to sacrifice the political party for the president of the party. They've done that before, but they were saved because they still had powers, they still had the majority. And I think the ANC, I agree with EFF and the others to say they are playing delaying tactics by submitting their names late. However, we don't do things without rules and regulations. I think there are rules and regulations in parliament that defines on how the speaker should handle these late submissions and what should happen. And I would expect Metoko Didiza do not come and have a Damascus moment after this thing and cry the way Mapisa Ngakula did to say, I should have done that. We are tired of I should have. She must do things as the Speaker of the National Assembly. She is, you know, I always tell people, by the way, she's the number two in charge of the country, if not number three, depending who comes first between the Chief Justice and the Speaker. Sure. But in my books, it's the President and the Speaker. That's why the first person we elect as a nation after national election is the Speaker of Parliament,
yes,
who then presides over electing the President in Parliament. So that position belongs to us as citizens of South Africa. And I think the ANC must stop this thing of playing things that are actually shooting themselves on the foot.
Sure.
Then while we are sitting there, boom, you know, these ladies, our ladies, it was the Human Settlement Minister who still has a case hanging above her head, Jengin Kadime, you know. Then it was a small business, 500 million. It's still hanging on our heads. Where is the small business relief fund? 500 million of spaza shops to be realized. Estelandabeli is quiet. We don't know where's the money, who benefited. They're not saying anything. 500 million is gone. Then came the one who took who was fired last week.
Tolashe.
Now is the MKP chief whip. What's wrong with our ladies, guys? You know, I've always banked on women leading us properly.
So, for instance, Mabatu Mokoena Zondi has a prior fraud conviction.
Oh, I didn't even know about that.
Do you think the MK would have known this and still appointed a chief whip? Or do you think they found out as a tada? Guess what?
This is how it works. Now that I was security cleared, this is how it works. And I knew from the EFF time. When you submit a list of MPs nominations to Parliament, you submit security, what do you call it? Security clearance, police sub clearance certificates. So you can't be an MP when you have a criminal record. You can't, it's not allowed. However, we have to be fair, like we've been fair with many others. If she had previously was convicted for fraud, and it was expunged. Now she is a clean citizen.
Okay.
But you are raising an important question that even if now you have expunged your fraudulent case and conduct and judgment, do we want to really risk and put the person of that caliber or conduct or behavior as our chief whip?
Sure.
I don't know if the MKP went through that process. I don't know if she disclosed it. If she did not disclose that, actually, she actually even defrauded her own political party. But MKP has issued a letter statement and to say they let the court process take its own course. But I can't remember if they've placed their own immediate suspension. I think so. But that's what they should do, actually, because there's a case standing. You don't want a chief whip who faced of serious allegations. But also the money taken, just like Tolashe. Guys, how greedy and unethical we are as human beings, that we take money from our domestic helpers, from junior officials.
It's a tithe.
Fresh, how much is enough? You are a chief whip. You are earning an average of 1.3, 1.4 million per annum. Why do you still take from the people? Look, if this...
It was for Zuma's legal fees, I guess.
We don't know yet. Remember, we are talking of allegations. If it's for Zuma legal fees, are they taking from everybody else? You understand? Political parties do that. By the way, in the EFF, it's officialized. In the DA, we discussed it three, 4 weeks back.
Yeah, you must tithe.
Yes, they pay tithe and all that. If it's part of the policy of a political party, they must have defined and explained it well. And it must not go to the coffers of an individual. And it must be applicable to everybody.
Sure.
And you can't be taking from the poor of the poorest only to fund a party. There's nothing wrong in members of a political party funding their own party. But don't give people jobs and say, I'm giving you this job on condition.
Treat them like you've done them a favor.
Yes. Don't do that.
Now you want a commission.
That will be very wrong. That's why I don't want to arrive in a situation whereby my unemployed family members or friends, like you now, being technically unemployed, then I must start digging somewhere on Action SA money to can make you survive. It's wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong. But we'll see how it goes. It's rough. It's election time. Look, somebody said this thing politically. Immediately when that woman was announced to be part of that committee, the police were knocking at her door. Was it a strategic move? For me, it doesn't matter. If you do wrong, you do wrong, and you must face the might of the law. But it's election time. You're going to see things. Hey, guys, if there's any scandals about me, can they come up now? Not. I know I'm running on a clean slate. But politics are rough, fresh. Very rough.
Sure. Yeah. We're out of time.
Yeah, but you know, there's something I wanted us to cover. Because we're out of time, the matter was brought to us by one of our followers. Vuyo is sitting in Holland, the EU decision. Yes. We can discuss it next week.
Okay, what? Let's talk about Netherlands and the EU migration pact.
Yeah, actually, not even a week after, the EU has passed an amendment to their Immigration Act or rules that all their member states, they must follow. They are changing three things in the EU Immigration Charter or Pact. Yeah, they call it the European Union Immigration Pact. And the Netherlands, this week, they met and to make a decision on that in Parliament to align themselves with the EU. What the EU is doing, Fresh, is very quickly, in amending their immigration rules, it is no longer automatic that when you had a five-year permanent residence or temporary resident, after 5 years, it's now automatically you can convert it to permanent.
Okay.
They've erased that.
Yes.
You must leave the country and start all over or give a reason why it should be extended.
Yes.
That's one. The second one is the family relations, to say now I'm getting married or I'm Botswana, now I've got children with Ms. Wichse in Germany, therefore I can be given a German. They've done away with that one. So marriage or pillow talk relationships, and you get your residence. Marriage of convenience, it's out. And the last one, which I think is going to be harsh on many people, is that those with pending applications in terms of their own law in the EU, let's say you are there, you have applied, after 3 years, you have applied to get a five-year one, just in their practice, they said it's okay, they will consider them. But everybody who's going to apply for a work permit, study permit, residence, you can convert it into a permanent residence permit in future. They are doing away with that. And by the way, a lot of people would not be aware. The Netherlands, just like Germany, has one of the biggest foreign national in Europe.
Yes, they do.
I don't understand how. When I was there, I used to be shocked why so many Africans came to live in Jan van Riebeck's land. I never understood that part.
Because it was easier to get in there.
Yes. So they're making it harder for all immigrants who are immigrants in the EU. So countries that are not members of the EU, who want their nationals used to go and live and work in the EU, countries are going to have it harder now. To do this. Look what other countries are doing. They are tightening their immigration rules, and then others are telling us we shouldn't do that. So thanks to Vuyo, she said I can mention her name. She's sitting in the Netherlands. She's working for one of the big multinational companies.
Yeah.
And she brought this to my attention. I was aware of the EU rule that it has passed the Parliament of EU. This one has passed the Dutch. On the 12th of June, all EU member states should have aligned. So it is going to be very difficult for South Africans, African people and Asians and everybody else to go live and work in the EU.
So no permanent residence permits, temporary permits cut 5 to 3 years now, tougher family reunification, and appeal window halved from 4 to 2 weeks.
Yes. Imagine. But what they are doing to reduce the time frames of responding as
absolutely.
Well. To say to their governments, you are responding to people in 4 weeks. You must respond in 2 weeks. I think that's fair.
And it also speaks to what we're talking about asylum seekers in this country.
Yes.
That leave people with no reason to justify their illegality. Make sure the system works.
Make sure
give people answers, responses. If a person must leave, go back home to apply before they come back in. Make it clear that that is what is expected of you.
Exactly.
But also make sure that the system is slick and it works. No one should ever turn around and say, I'm illegal because your system doesn't work.
Doesn't work. Oh, it has delays. I've applied 3 years back and I'm still waiting.
So cover your bases so that when a person says, I'm here illegally, or when you accuse someone of being here illegally, you know that they can't turn the finger back at you.
Exactly, fresh.
And say that you made it difficult for me to be legal in the first place. So can you really blame me? Not that we're trying to encourage or justify illegality. There must never be a reason to be illegal.
Follow the processes, respect the laws, and let the government do its part.
Yes.
You know, what we are asking for from the government of the Republic of South Africa, it's government. There's laws, there's rules. People ask me in one interview, do you think there's no rules and regulations? There are rules and regulations. They must just be enforced and implemented without fear and favor.
Yes.
We shouldn't fear criticism. Mm. We are a sovereign state. We respect humanity and human life. Mm. And that's what the government must do.
Mm.
Understand? You know, now people are talking about interpretation of the constitution.
Mm.
Did all who live in it means all who ever come, even illegal ones? There's now interpretation of the constitution.
Mm.
But there is no political will, fresh. And, you know, in conclusion from my side, there is no political will in this country by 400 lawmakers to amend things that have created such problems.
Mm.
We spoke in the past about the Road Accident Fund Act. The only country in the world that says you can just drive and walk into this country and do as you wish. If a car or a bicycle or a motorbike knocks you, you claim from the state.
Mm.
What madness is that?
Mm.
Why don't they change the law?
Mm.
It's training. That's what I was saying to President Mbeki and Men Kwatazana Zuma. It is training the resources. The Gauteng was planned, or Joburg was planned to have about 7 million people. Now you wake up in Joburg, we have 20 million people. That's why the drains are blocking. That's why there's no water. The resources are strained because the government did not have a plan to respond to such an influx of people, not only from abroad or neighboring countries, but also from the rural areas. Yeah, so it's a government that works fresh. You know, I've dated my hands, and let me now get to work and do what I can do as a change.
Yeah.
But I think on this podcast, for the last 3 years, 3.5 years, we have done well to try and spread the message and educate the people and show the government where there are low-hanging fruits and opportunities. But yeah, it's not every time we'll be listened to.
Now we're out of time.
Yes, fresh. I've got a big event waiting for me there. I feel like a hero nyana these days. That's my birthday, then a Portugal appointment, then I'm suddenly...
No, but you're a regular...
A Hall of Fame.
You're a regular hero. And against the poncho, so Zoro.
By the way, this poncho, it's I bought this in Mexico.
So that's a genuine Mexico.
That's the real Macoya.
Or shot a fella like a sombrero.
And
a cigarette hanging from your mouth.
No. I'd rather have a cigar.
And a cactus. sitting against a cactus. Got your six shooter.
I'm not yet.
It was a Pancho Villa. Pancho Villa is here.
Maybe I must have a picture with all those things around me.
Exactly.
Yeah, but thanks, Fresh, and thanks to the viewers and the listeners.
B, where do we find you, sir?
Let's continue to talk on WhatsApp at +27838847787 and on social media handles at BotsangM on all of them.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Fresh.
Thanks for everything.
Thank you, Fresh.
We'll do this again in a week.
Yeah, we will. I'll still be here. Let me promise you, and I promised you before, I will be on this show throughout.
And you have 5 months to convince me why I must vote for your party.
I'll convince you.
All right. Can't wait.
Thanks,
Fresh. We're done. It's another episode of Wow, What a Week! #Politrix coming to you from Discover TV in Four Ways, Johannesburg. Discover TV, let them be your stage. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. You can email us on waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to Keletso Modisa Gang. She is our executive producer. Trevor Zondi and his crew at Pezulu Works for making us look good. And most importantly, you for watching, sharing, subscribing, and everything that you do to interact with the show, especially at the bottom on YouTube. The more comments, the more opinions, the merrier. That's how we find each other, by agreeing, by disagreeing, and often agreeing to disagree. Because we're adults, we're not children, are we? We don't throw our toys and throw tantrums. Or do we? We'll find out in the comments this week. Until next week, from myself, Fresh, and Ran Fontaine, Hall of Famer, Botsang Mwilwa, have yourselves a great week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.